are listening to All Things Azeroth. Your World of Warcraft podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Medros and Grace.
And welcome back to another exciting and thrilling episode of your favorite World of Warcraft podcast, All Things Azeroth. I am your host, Medros, and she is...
I'm Grace. Hi, everybody.
And this is your last pre-national podcast post-month episode of All Things Azeroth. Starting on Saturday, I think it is. Yes, Saturday, we'll be doing the national podcast post-month. The first episode will be both of us. This should be up before that, so this should not be the first episode of the national podcast post-month, but we will have to see. And... she'll be doing the next day, and then I'll follow up. And then about every week, we'll be doing our usual show, which will be inserted into the stream whenever it's ended, whenever it's finished editing, essentially. So let's get on with the start of the show. How did your week go this week?
It was pretty good. I played entirely too much WoW, if there is such a thing. mostly doing the Hallowed End events. Mostly doing the Hallowed End events, and trying not to get turned into a zombie. And I know we want to talk about those things in more detail, so I'll just say that I made a crap ton of gold doing trick-or-treating, and it was a pretty good week. How about you?
Did pretty good. I was kind of... sad because our guilds, both of our guilds' runs, happened before Saturday, which is when the new boss hit Karazhan, and it just seems like we haven't been able to get a group together that will be able to go run Karazhan before the patch hits and or the downtime hits tomorrow and Karazhan resets. So it looks like the guild might only get two chances at. The new boss, Tenrisk Mirkblood, in Karazhan.
Well, you know, at this point, it's so easy to get pugs for Kara, though, because with all the nerfs that came with the patch in terms of boss hit points and all the buffs that everyone got with their new talents, you probably just hop into a looking for group and go.
That's true, and it's a good point, but I'm not sure that I want to bring my toons in on a pug. I mean, even if it's just bringing them in for that, I mean, I understand that, but... I would like to get Medros his axe, because that is actually better than the one than the Hammer of Destiny that Medros currently uses. But, I mean, of course, I want the bat, because the vampiric bat looks cute.
You know, that's the non-combat pet, right?
Yes. And he drops it for everybody, as well as two badges, so...
Ooh, wow. I'm going to try and pug it tonight, then.
Well, he's only in Karazhan for 10 days, so the theory or the logic going was that if he's only there for 10 days, you only get one run, it's not really fair to everybody to only drop one of them when you can only go 10 days and he only spawns once per week, you know, because that means at most you have two runs. So only two people out of 10 would have a chance at the pet, assuming he dropped it every time. So they decided to drop it for everybody, which is a fair thing.
That's nice.
I just wish that they would increase the drop rate of the Sinister Squashling, because I've seen the Headless Horseman down probably 20 times, 25 times by now. Haven't seen a drop. Well, I've seen a drop off him once, and somebody else got it. I've not seen it drop at all in treat bags, and I've gone on 470s and a 45 every single day, repeatedly throughout the day, and I've not seen the Squashling drop in a bag for myself yet. And the only character which actually got a helm out of the bag was the toon who got the helm last year. The one toon that doesn't need it's the one who got it, and it's not tradable, you know?
There's someone in my guild who got three of the Squashlings out of trick-or-treat bags. And I kind of have to hate them now, because I've been trying to log on every hour that I'm home and do all of my toons opening bags, and I'm getting wands, and I'm getting masks. But no Squashling, and that thing is cute, and I want it, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Maybe tonight's the night.
I would really like to be able to get the title. I haven't gone to do PvP for the nerds, but, I mean, I've still got 10 days or so on those, so I'm not overly concerned about that. Actually, probably not 10 days, probably 4 or 5 days, but apparently you only need 4 or 5 nerds per run, and they're tradable. So I'm not really concerned about that one. The wands, again, I mean, that's not a big deal. They're removing the masks. If the patch comes in the morning, they're removing that then. And since they said they want 3.03 to be out before this event ends, tomorrow is the only day they could bring that patch out. Now, of course, they want to have that out by then, but that does not mean they're going to have that out by then. So, really, we'll have to wait and see on that. I'm not seeing any news at this point.
So the masks are coming out tomorrow.
They're supposed to be out when the next patch hits. The masks are supposed to be coming out of the requirement for the title.
Oh, but they're not coming out of the game.
No, they'll be still in the game. That achievement will still be there, but it will not be part of the Hallowed quest or the Hallowed achievement grouping that grants you the Hallowed title.
Is that because they thought it was too many requirements?
Yeah, the drop rate of the mask in a bag is about 10%, and you get a bag about half the time. And even if you did it every hour, even if you didn't get a duplicate at all, you would still only have about a 75% chance of actually succeeding in the achievement for the masks. I mean, there's 10 races, there's 2 genders, that's 20 masks. The odds are just against anybody getting those, and they didn't want to make it that difficult.
I really wish that they didn't expire in 7 days. Because I'd like to run around with my female human body and the male dwarf mask. I think that would be hot. So I'm kind of upset about that. But I got the helm, the one that's the pumpkin head that permanently lets you wear the pumpkin on your head. So I'm pretty excited about that. At least I have a little souvenir.
The hallowed helm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the hallowed helm on Medros. I've got 2 of them now, actually, which really pisses me off since they're not unique. And I don't really need 2 of them, but... So, so you liking the zombie look yet?
Have I what now?
Are you enjoying the zombie look yet?
Oh, the zombie look. Well, at first I did. At first I was one of those people who was running around Stormwood trying to get bitten. And there were these paladins that were just really, really, like, upsetting me, not letting me get bitten. They would cleanse it off. But then... Once it got to the point where I would log into game and be a zombie within 30 seconds, it got a little old. Because last night, or 2 nights ago, I guess, I was running Black Temple, and I was late to the raid because I was sleeping. Anyway, and I logged in game. There was a queue. When I got in game, I simultaneously got the raid invite and got turned into a zombie, promptly died, and then had to, you know, res myself and then fly over to Shadow Moon Valley on my little stupid broom because the flight master was dead. So it got a little annoying, and I didn't even know this, but you said that the zombies are gone now, thank God, because I was about to, you know, pitch a fit over here. But I guess they're gone. Hallelujah. I can get to my raids on time again.
Well, I mean, the logic from Blizzard is, in my opinion, valid. Am I a fan of the idea of being turned into a zombie within a minute so you don't even have time to run, ride, or fly over to a healer? No. I will admit that I was not a fan of that, though, like you, I was encouraging infection in the first day or two of the problem. I mean, it was fun. But in the end, Blizzard is correct on many fronts. If it was a real plague, only the convenient people would not be the ones to get infected. You would have people you want to stay alive getting infected as well.
Sure.
Also, it would get worse. As more people got infected, as the plague mutated. I mean, this was, in essence, this was a natural extension of a disease. I mean, I don't remember if anybody remembers, but back in Zul'Gurub, I believe it was launching. When Zul'Gurub launched, there was a plague that I believe was Hakkar left the raid with. And for a short period of time, that was able to be brought outside of the game, or outside of the instance, sorry. Well, when you have a bunch of people who have a plague that leave a instance and hearth to, oh, I don't know, let's say Stormwind, Ironforge, Darnassus. Yeah, well, probably not Darnassus, because Darnassus is, like, so small it wouldn't matter. But when you have players who have this plague that venture forth and enter into the populace and spread this plague because it was infectious. People died. If you weren't level 50, you were almost insta-death.
I remember that, but I was so young. I was like level 12 at that point. Thankfully, I didn't get affected, but I remember my guild bitching about it and being really upset.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were very angry back then, and apparently the CDC at one point was even using that spread of the Zulgrub plague as a classic case of infection of contagious diseases. And I don't think Blizzard intentionally did it. I don't think they intentionally made that plague spreadable, but do I think they used that plague as an example of how to spread it? Perhaps. I think they may have learned a bit from that. I think that they took that as an example of how to engineer a disease that would eventually, potentially, wipe out everyone. But, and this is what happened Sunday night, they engineered a stop. They engineered a cure. And I don't know how many people did it, but even right now, if you go to a commoner in one of the capital cities, they will give you a quest to go talk to an NPC in Chatrath, the major city in Outlands. That NPC will give you this big... Okay, you cannot miss this NPC if you're Alliance. I'm pretty sure that the Horde talked to somebody else, who we'll get to in a moment. But the NPC will give you this big thing. Well, you don't see it as a big thing, but it's this big glowing light. Essentially, light as taken from a Nauru. And you deliver it to your race's leader. And I find it interesting that less than 24 hours after that item began being delivered to city leaders, the plague has been cured. So my theory is that that device or that item was the cause of the curing of the plague. And I find it interesting, really, that the Nauru essentially was what cured the plague. Because that device is light taken directly from a Nauru. So the Nauru once again came to our rescue, saved us, hallelujah, yada yada. But there's this big guy up in Northrend who's probably not overly pleased that his attempt to take over the world didn't really go as well as he thought it would.
Probably. That's a rational guess.
So, as you may have noticed, the necropolis outside of the major cities are still there.
They are. I saw the first one yesterday.
I think they're not going to be going anywhere.
Oh, permanently.
Well, mm-hmm. Tenris Mirkblood, who came in at the same time the necropolis has arrived, is in Karazhan for 10 days. The necropolises will be around for a few more days still. So, if you want your necrotic ruins, or if you want to do the quests outside of the major cities as a lobby, I'd recommend doing those soon.
No, but I thought the necrotic runes weren't going to drop after the zombie thing stopped.
They're not. The necrotic runes... Okay. The necropolises that populate all around the world, those are here for a few more days. Whether or not those necrotic runes will be vanishing at that point, I don't know. Blizzard hasn't said. I hope not, because I would hope they learned from last time when people were left at the end of this event, which had no specific end date, with a bunch of necrotic runes in their bank and nothing to spend them on. What I'm doing personally is I'm using all of my necrotic runes as I get them on the items that I want from the vendors. My plan tonight is to go out with probably Medros or Talon and get as many necrotic runes as I can for what I want from them. And once both of them have their stuff, I might go with my 70 Hunter Amelind and let him get his stuff, because honestly, the War Horn of the Argent of the Dawn is awesome. I love it. I got it on Arita, and what happens when you use it is you summon this knight, the Argent Knight, who is on a horse and fights by your side. When he's done, he bubbles and hearths.
Nice. Now, how expensive are these things that you buy? Like, how many runes do you need on average?
For the War Horn of the Argent Dawn, you need 40 runes. There is a War Banner for 8 runes, I believe. You can get a Tabard of the Argent Dawn, which is part of a feat of strength. Those are also 8 runes. There are two pieces of gear for each level of gear. Cloth, leather, mail, and plate. There's two of them each on the vendor for 15 runes each. The other two in the set are only available from killing Shades of Doom and the rare spawns by the necropolises. There's a tome, Argent Tome, is 30 runes. And then there's pots, and I think there's some other stuff, but it's, I mean, it's just junk kind of stuff. It's not, I don't know why, but there's the health pots on those are 20 runes, which makes no sense to me since it's one health pot for 20 runes. I can get a piece of gear for less than that. I would not advise wasting your time.
You can get the runes just by killing the Scourge near the shards below the ziggurat things, right?
Yes, the ones that spawn around the world, not the ones by the cities.
Right. Okay. So, like, for example...
ones by the cities, you do for quests.
But I can't get the runes off of the ones outside of Ironforge, for example.
No. No. They do drop runes, but not the same ones. And those only drop for lobbies.
Well, that stinks.
And then you have to be under 20 for those to drop for you.
I have to find some world ziggurats then, because I don't know where they are yet.
Yeah, essentially what you do, they spawn... when Arita did them, they were spawning every 3 hours or so. The hotfix that came in that night was supposed to increase the spawn rate of them. What you do is every 20 minutes or half an hour, you open your world map, go to the continent view where you see all three continents, and then if you see a skull... On any zone, mouse over, it'll tell you where the Scourge is attacking. When you go to the zone, what you do is you make sure that your view distance is at maximum in your video settings. Video settings then affects view distance maximum. And then look up into the sky. You'll see the ziggurat up there, the main necropolis. Watch the little green crystal at the bottom of it. It will be shooting purple things out at each of the different ziggurats. That's how you figure out where the ziggurat or where the different spawn points of the crystals are. And then when the crystal gets down to zero, it spawns like 8 engineers that are sent down essentially to repair the crystal. What you can do is you can kill them off to summon a Shade of Doom, which is part of a quest out at Lights Up Chapel. And once you kill the Shade of Doom, you get the quest complete, as well you get 30 necrotic runes, but they're BOP, so only one person can get them. So last time they were able to be split off, this time they can't. Whoever gets them, gets them. There is no sharing.
And it's an elite mob, so you need...
you need at least two people. I was with another guy the other day, I was doing it with myself, my balanced druid, and believe a ret or a prot paladin. I'm not sure what he was, but yeah, the first time we tried one, we died horribly, repeatedly, because we weren't prepared. Well, I wasn't prepared. He decided to summon because the crystal died and he wanted to get one right away. He didn't tell me he was summoning one, though. So all of a sudden, he dies quickly because I didn't know what he was doing, and then the two Shadows of Doom and a bunch of the little guys around the crystal come after me. And I, of course, hit kitty form. And before I can even get to kitty form, I'm a dead druid on the side of the road. So we both got back, and we rezzed, and we prepared properly for it. Took out some of the mobs around so that we didn't have to face so many mobs. And we ended up getting 3 Shades of Doom from that spawn. And we went on to a couple other zones and got some more. And I got 96 runes that night on Arita. So,
wow.
Well, they have the ziggurat.
You've been doing runes. I've been trick or treating.
Oh, I've been trick or treating too. Don't worry. I'll have all my 70s having their all their candy buckets filled. But what I did was we knew that there was a specific order that the ziggurats spawn in. While EPL's up, Blasted Lands is up. And then when Blasted Lands is done, the next one is Burning Steps. Well, knowing that it was likely that if we went to Burning Step, if we went to Blasted Lands, it would probably be near the end of it. We probably would not be able to find one of our own. We decided instead to go to Burning Steps to get ours. And the rare spawns are not elites. So he went to a spot he knew of where one spawns, and I went to a spot I know of where one spawns, and I had almost... I was down to 52% on that crystal before anybody else found that crystal. So all of the mobs from 100% to 52%, I had to myself.
Oh, wow.
And I must say, that was nice. As a boomkin, I was able to pull 4 to 5 of the undead around the crystal without having any concern about dying. Between pots and my natural mana regeneration, as well as what is it called? Not invigorate, innervate. There we go. Along with innervate, you know, I had no problem. I died once. Because I'm still trying to figure out the radius of Starfall. I'm used to, like, a short radius, but I'm guessing that Starfall is a very large radius spell. Because it ended up pulling 8 mobs on me. 8's a little too much. I didn't have enough potions to lacerate 8 mobs. But, yeah, I got enough for everything that I wanted. And the 2 Shades of Doom that I killed, as well as the... one rare got me the 2 pieces of cloth that I wanted, because there's no leather spell power ones. It's only attack power there, and I'm not a feral druid, so I have no concern for attack power. But I've got my full cloth set of undead killing gear, which I mean may not matter in a few days, but it'll be nice to have anyway. I got my argent tome. No, not my Argent Tome, the Warhorn of the Argent Dawn, or whatever it's called. And,
Now, these crystals, you said you got them down to a certain percent. How do you know what percent you're at? Or are you just guessing?
You click on the crystal, it'll show you.
Oh, well, there you go. Shows you how much I know about necrotic runes.
Yeah, and I've got a mod called Tip Top that, when I hover over something, it shows me the health of it. So, yeah, it's good. It frustrates me because, you know, whether you're in a group or not, you still have to accept bind on pickup from the necrotic runes, and that really annoys me because if I'm alone, I shouldn't have to accept
right.
That bind on pickup. And it's like, okay, so I'm in the middle of killing 4 guys, I accidentally click loot, and I've got to click away from those guys to click yes and yes just to roll on this thing or to accept this thing. It was just really frustrating to have to accept something that I should not have to say yes to.
It takes like half a second, though. I mean,
yes, but half a second is like 2 mobs. Come on. But so I'm assuming by the fact that you didn't know about all this that you're new to the Scourge, right? You weren't around when Nax was hitting.
Well, I was, but I was really here. I'm trying to get a cat off the keyboard. I was not yet 60. I deigned 60, it was something like 4 days before Burning Crusade hit, because I took my time. And when we get into our main topic, I'll talk about that. But so I heard about the Scourge invasion, I saw the skulls on the map, but I wasn't intimately involved. So this is the first I've heard of the necrotic runes, and I actually haven't played WoW very much today, because I've been running around, so I haven't been farming anything except the Halloween candy.
So basically you were taking a break from... Black Temple and Blackwing Lair and all those other raids you've been twittering about for the last few weeks just to try and actually, you know, live life for some weird reason.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy concept. But we're having a lot of fun finishing up the legacy, the 40-man raid content, and trying to get ourselves into every... Burning Crusade instance at least a couple times before the expansion hits. So we've been running Black Temple a lot, which has been a lot of fun because I had never been in Black Temple before, and I got the Nether Shadow tunic off of Supremus on my rogue, which is really sweet. And we got up to Gurtog Bloodboil, but for some reason we only tried him once before we decided we were going to call it a night. I think some people had to leave or something, so I was kind of disappointed because I think we could have beat him on the second try. But it was still cool to be in there, and I took a lot of screenshots, so it was fun. So the only place I've never been in I haven't been into the Eye, and I haven't been into Sunwell except for some trash. So maybe this week.
Okay, so I'm curious, what do you think of all these bosses. I mean, I've heard from high-end raiders who are unhappy, that feel that their accomplishments have less oomph because they know that these are pansy-ass little bosses. What do you think?
Now, which bosses are you referring to?
Well, in patch 3.0.2, all the bosses were nerfed by 30% health.
Right, right. So you mean just what do I think of the nerf?
Well, what are you still just happy for having killed them, even if they are weaker than they used to be?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because my guild, I mean, we are in the top. We're definitely in the top 20 on the server. I think we may be near the top 10, but we're definitely not, you know, in the one or two spots. So we definitely don't have players, for the most part, who have the time to be at the cutting edge of raid content, like, right when it's coming out. So it's a lot of fun for us to be able to go in and to have a shot at Illidan, for example, because 6 months ago, we just didn't have that. You know, we were doing Kara, Zul'aman, that kind of thing. So I think it's great. You know, it's so easy to get your panties in a bunch about the nerf, but the reason they do the nerf is for players like us who are dedicated and who would be truly hardcore if we had the time, but we just don't. So we're almost there. So it was just a lot of fun to see the content, to see the bosses, and to see the models, because in Black Temple in particular, there are some boss models that are completely different than anything else in the game. For example, Gurtag Bloodboil, he's this mutated orc. He's really kind of like fat and squashy, and he has a different way of walking. And I'd never seen anything like him before. So that was really neat. And that's actually a change. In the expansion's instances, the bosses are, I'm pretty sure they're all going to be unique models. So it's not going to be like you go into an instance and the boss is just a bigger version of 800 mobs that you've seen before. I think that's really cool because that's why I play this, is to see the new stuff. So it's really neat for me to just, you know, see the things that come out of these people's minds. So I think it's fabulous. What do you think about it?
I think that the weakening of the bosses was required to help players actually be able to beat the bosses. I think if they hadn't done all of this, they likely would have had a lot of people complaining, and I say that in the polite word I was going to use, that they can't do anything. Raiding is dead until the expansion hits, and I think that Blizzard, they would have taken it either way. If they had made it harder if they changed all the talents and not changed the bosses, people would have complained they can't raid. They changed the bosses, changed the talents, and people complain they can't raid. In the end, what solution did they have?
Right. I mean, I also think they realized that perhaps the most vocal percentage of the demographic are the endgame raiders, but most of the people who pay them, you know, $15, $16 a month are not. And so it's really wonderful for us to be able to see that kind of stuff. I mean, I know probably six months ago, like right when Sunwell hit, there's the top guild on our server is called Paranoid. And Paranoid, they're the kind of guild that they all went into Zul'aman and they all have the bear mount. And they would sit in front of Sunwell Plateau, all 25 of them, on their bear mounts, just showing off, waiting to go in. So, you know, guilds like Paranoid got to see it first time out, but guilds like us, not so much. So I'm just really grateful for that opportunity. I think a lot of people are, just to get to see it before it's not important anymore.
Well, I mean, Lana here can answer the question better than I can in regards to Shadowwalkers and raiding, but my impressions when we hit Zul'aman right after the patch hit was that everybody was really happy. They had been struggling against some bosses there, and finally those bosses were able to be killed without, you know, six wipes that demoralized the entire raid and caused people to just want to give up. And, I mean, that justified the removal of the bear mount. They definitely wanted to weaken those bosses, but they couldn't keep a reward like the bear mount, like the champion of the Naru, like the Hand of a Doll. They couldn't keep those in, not when they're making the bosses too easy. And hello to Jen, who has just joined us in the chat room. So, I can understand Blizzard's reason.
Sure, and I'm not upset about the bear mount. You know, I would have liked one, but, you know, for most guilds, it wasn't a possibility to get everyone a bear mount. That's fine. I just wanted to see the stuff. So I think it's a fair compromise. And, you know, it's like 2 weeks till the expansion hits. So, you know, let's have a free-for-all now, and then in a couple days we're all going to be doing our new Wrath stuff, and it won't even matter. It's like, you know, who runs Onyxia anymore? Which is one of the reasons why I'm thrilled about the achievements, because it made people really excited to go back to the old stuff that I had never seen. You know, in the past 2 weeks, I've been in Molten Core, I've been in Blackwing Lair, I've killed Ani. I'm so thrilled about that. And it was just for the stupid achievement, but I got to see it. I got to take screenshots for my little, you know, geeky photo album. I'm really stoked about that.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the chance to get into Black Temple, I had the chance to get into Gruul's, but the group that I had gotten into just couldn't get it together. People kept having to leave and come and go, and it was a pug. It was a 25-man pug, and, I mean, it was doomed, I thought, from the beginning. Yeah. But it's...
Most pugs are.
True. In the end, it's just a matter of the group tried, but it didn't work out, and we just had to continue, you know, the best we could from where we were, and it fell apart. And I haven't gotten back into one yet. I'd love to be able to see one before Wrath hits in 2 weeks, but do I think I will? Probably not. Honestly, there's too much in the way right now from me trying to actually get to that point where I can actually be, you know, in a successful raid. There's just too much in the way.
I was in a Serpent Shine pug a couple days ago, and just because I'd never been in there, and I wanted to go when they needed DPS, and it was a fairly good pug. We got Lurker down. We were on our way. I think we were going to skip Hydros and head to some other boss, but then I had to go and a couple other people had to go because Black Temple was starting. But I was so excited about Lurker because, as everyone has to know, Lurker is the boss that you have to fish up. So we cleared all the way to Lurker. I'm so excited. I get to see this new boss. We clear all the trash. We're doing great. No wipes. And we get down there. We're on vent. The raid leader is explaining about the fight and how you got to fish him up and what you're going to do. And you got people on the islands. You got people in the center. And when he does his spout, you got to dive under the water. All this stuff. 15 minutes of explanation. And then he goes, okay, so who's going to fish him up? And there was this, like, crickets silence. And he goes, are you serious? No one has the fishing skill that we need. Are you serious? And he just started screaming and cursing. Finally, somebody, like, looked in their skills and realized they could fish him up, but they didn't have their pole or lure. So we had to port him back to Shat to get his stuff out of the bank. And then we had to summon him back. And then when they fished Lurker up, the port was still there. And so we had people that were accidentally porting themselves to Shat during the fight. So it was kind of a hot mess, but we did kill him. And the Lurker model is awesome because he's a huge fish. He comes flying out of the water. Totally kind of scary and unexpected. Awesome. So if you haven't been into SSC yet, try and go because it's a lot of fun. Even if you just do the first boss. It's good times.
Yeah, I'm told that there's a boss kind of guy near Theramore that is for the lobies that they can actually do. That is the same model as Lurker,
yes,
but a lot smaller, apparently.
Yes, he's a lot smaller. It's for some quest. I did it on my mage. He's like attacking the town, and you run around, and you have to shoot these like cannons at him, and he's killing all the Theramore soldiers, and you have to DPS him down with these cannons before he kills all the soldiers. It's a cool quest, and I think it's kind of new, because I don't remember doing it before Burning Crusade, but it's a cool model. But Lurker is like 5 times the size.
Yeah, it came in at 2.3, I believe, is when they did the revamp of the Dustwallow Marsh Zone. Mm-hmm. But we're actually going to take a break.
Yeah, when Mudsprocket came.
But we're actually going to take a break at this point to possibly play a promo. Last week we had the Nobody's Listening podcast, which Grace will be a guest on tomorrow on Tuesday, the 28th of October, for their Halloween episode, I believe, right?
Yes, we're doing Halloween stories. It's going to be me and James and Trevor, a.k.a. Ratface from the forums. It's going to be good times.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I don't know if you'll be hearing NLCast again tonight or not, but do stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break.
How you doing out there, podcast people? This is James from Nobody's Listening. Nobody's Listening is a podcast where we tell our funny life stories.
She licked her lips.
We invite our guest hosts and other listeners to do the same.
All of a sudden, I feel a little chilly in my nether regions.
Every week, we bring you crazy, silly, embarrassing, downright hilarious stories from everyday life.
Sir, I have news for you.
And we want to hear yours.
We actually named a bulldog after her.
Visit us at NLcast.com or look us up in iTunes.
You need to learn to lie like the devil lies.
Yes.
You start with something Amen. True, and then you just monkey Amen. The whole thing up.
Broke ya?
So welcome back to the show, and thank you to the sponsor of the show. And we actually listened to a song while we were on that break, which we'll be playing at the end of the show. It's Aggro Is Mine from Dax, who did the Pugging Kara song that we played last week. And that's also that blogger can be found at musingsofanutjob.blogspot.com. And since that's a rather long URL to type out yourself, just look for it in the show notes. I'll make sure to post it when the show goes up. So let's see, we've talked about the invasion, the zombies, we've talked about the nerf to raid bosses, we've talked about, well, a lot of stuff. How have you found the trick-or-treating to be? And the candy and all that?
Well, I think it's great on a couple levels. I have the, on one of my tunes, I think it's on the Rogue, I've done every single candy bucket in the game for the Alliance. And on my Warlock, I've done Outland and Eastern Kingdoms, and I'm finishing up Kalimdor. And once you're at level 70, you make, I think it's 3 gold, 75 silver, somewhere around there, for each candy bucket that you rifle through. So that's a lot of gold, especially when you have multiple tunes. Now, if your tunes are below level 70, you get experience instead. And my 52 mage is getting 3,650 XP per candy bucket. So he's already gotten 5 bubbles of XP, which is really great. So you just, you're just basically hopping between your flight points. So I'm loving it. I am trick-or-treating. I really want the Squashling because I think the Squashling is adorable. I did get the Hallowed Helm, which is the pumpkin helm that doesn't have any stats, but it permanently lets you look like a pumpkin head. I think it's great. I think it's a lot of fun. I haven't done the orphans or the putting out the fires or the anything else, really, just because, real life has been calling. And I've just been trying to do a lot of dailies because I'm trying to get about 30% to 40% of my epic mount money before Wrath drops. So far, thanks in part, actually, to the gold that I'm getting from doing the trick-or-treating or doing the candy buckets. I've got about 1,000 gold, which I know is nothing compared to what you have, but it's a start. So I like it a lot. I'm really enjoying it. How about you?
Well, I've done all of the buckets on Talon and Arita. Between them, I don't know if my math is off from your math, or maybe I've been doing other stuff as well, but I'm guessing I made about, I know I've made well over 100 gold off doing the buckets, but I'm also doing the daily horseman, and that's, that's 20 gold there, well, 24 gold, and I do my nether residue, and I do my, the fishing daily on several of my 70s. Right now, I'm sitting at about 13,400 or so. So I'm right on course for hitting 15 grand by the time expansion hits.
Wow. Well, I think my math may have been a little conservative.
Yeah.
In terms of the gold.
I actually don't know. I don't know how many buckets there are. I'm actually looking here, and I think there's about 87 of them total, it looks like, maybe. But I'm not entirely certain. Let me just check here. There are a lot of different buckets. There are a lot of different things you can do. What I like most about it is, yes, it does make you money. Just like the fires in the Midsummer Festival was really good for getting gold. And for the lobby ones, like Talon, he was just, 68 at the time that Midsummer hit. And that got him almost an entire level going around to all those fires. So that was absolutely awesome for me. I mean, I loved it. Right now I've got... My goal at this point is tonight I plan to go around on Medros and get all of the buckets. Tomorrow night I plan to go around on Amalind and get all of the buckets. That's all my 70s. And on Wednesday,
Yeah.
Wednesday, I plan to go around on Treloon, which is my low B hunter, and get as many buckets as I can on him because he's only 45 or so. And even if I have to, you know, do some death runs, I'm going to try and get all of the buckets in Azeroth out and North and Kalimdor. Sorry, the Eastern Kingdom and Kalimdor buckets, and I've already got the one in Shat, and I'm pretty sure that I can find some way to get to some of the ones out there, but at level 45, I'm not sure how long he'd last going to stuff like Netherstorm and Blade's Edge. That might be a little too much for him. But I'm hoping to get a couple levels.
Yeah, you'd have to go with a group of guildies or something. One of the things that I love about this festival is that it's so huge in terms of its scope. And depending on what you like to do, there's something for you. You know, if you like to fly around the world and collect stuff, you can do the trick-or-treating and you can do the candy. If you just like raid bosses, you can do the Headless Horseman, you know, a billion times a day. If you just want to do the fires in Goldshire or outside of Undercity or wherever, you can do that. So there's something for everyone, and the achievements adds another level into that as well. So I just really think it's one of the more complex and well thought out multi-layered festivals, seasonal events that Blizzard has. I really think it's fabulous.
I just did the math. There's 44 different buckets for Alliance side. And doing the math, 44 times 4, about 4 gold a piece.
Okay.
Yeah, 176 gold, about. Probably closer to 150 with, because engineering's not exactly 4 gold. But yeah, 150 gold per 70, that's a pretty good amount of gold there. 44 buckets isn't easy, but there's only 4 per side that is actually in a zone that, or actually at a place where you can't fly to. So as long as you have your flight paths, you're fine. And if you do your exploration achievement at the same time, you're getting two achievements for this price of 1. So that's definitely worth it, I think.
I agree. I'm having a ball.
Yeah, Jen actually points out there's actually a really fun achievement as well. It's the check your head, where you have to get a pumpkin head on the head of one of each of the races. That is that's a fun challenge. Yeah. You can only do it in Outlands though, because no other place can you find one of each race.
Well, I suppose if you're on a PvP server, maybe you could, or in a battleground, you could do it. Can you do it in battleground?
I don't know. I haven't been on any battlegrounds, but. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on for Hell's End. Like you mentioned, the Horseman. Amelin got the Horseman's Blade the other day. It looks really cool. Nice red glow to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that on my robe, too.
Mm-hmm. Talon got the Horseman's Helm. So, you know, he's got a nice epic plate helm there. So yeah, there's a lot of really cool opportunities there. And there's some really, really awesome stuff to be seen. I'm really hoping to get in to see Tenris Mirkblood before he vanishes in about a week or so, and I do hope that we'll see more stuff, because Blizzard has said while the zombie plague is gone, it's not gone for good. Well, it's the plague is gone, but the events leading up to Wrath are not done. There is more stuff coming, so that's really exciting for me, because I know, based on sound files found in the beta client and in the current live client, we do hear a sound effect of Arthas resigning to the fact that we beat him for now, but come to Northrend and show ourselves for good, you know, kind of taunting us. So I think that we're going to end up seeing Arthas come and try and attack Stormwind and Orgrimmar. That's just my opinion.
Well, according to the lore, aren't the events leading up to the expansion supposed to end with the siege of Stormwind and Orgrimmar?
That's the theory. Based upon quest information retrieved out of the expansion beta right now, there is a quest that says something about Orgrimmar being raised. And the sound files do indicate that the Lich King also attacks Stormwind. Whether or not that will come to be anything of note, I don't know. I haven't seen anything in text right now that is indicated that we are supposed to be hearing those effects at this point, so there should be more to come yet.
Speaking of Orgrimmar, I just have to say, as part of the achievements, you know, you can do the low-level instances, you kill the final boss, you get the achievement. It was like 4 in the morning a couple mornings ago, and a bunch of us decided we wanted to do Rage Fire Chasm, which is the lowest level instance on the Horde side. It's in Orgrimmar. It's in the Cleft of Shadow. But unfortunately, the guards have been raised to... some of them are 75. I think the world boss is like Thrall is now 85. So it took us like 12 naked death flop runs into Orgrimmar to actually get into the Cleft of Shadow. But we did it. It was fun. And once you get in Ragefire Chasm, it's like 5 minutes and you kill Terramagon the Hungerer or however you say it, and you're done. It was fun. Fun Orgrimmar death flop.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of guildies right now who have been, completed the Wailing Caverns achievement, completed the Ragefire Chasm achievement, and the guy who did that actually did it as a paladin, admittedly, with only one death. So that was pretty good. Riding as fast as you can with Crusader Aura up, as close as you can to there, then bubbling the rest of the way, and he almost made it to the entrance, he said.
Oh, you mean he only died once getting in? Oh, wow, that's impressive. I thought you meant he died once when he was inside, and I was like, why would he die at all?
Nah, he's a paladin, so it's not that surprising. I mean, we are designed to survive, at the very least.
That's true. You know, true story. I was in Undead Strat the other day with one of our, like, the top pallies in our guild, just farming cloth. And he got... Well, actually, it was my fault. You know when you get to the slaughter square right before Baron's room and all the abominations come at you and the gates come down? He went in and I didn't, so he had to kill all of them by himself because I was being... idiot, and I was away from the keyboard when it happened. Anyway, so he killed something like 40, 60 elite abominations by himself, didn't die once. It was pretty uber. I could not have done that on my warlock.
Yeah, it's interesting to see people going through and completing all those old instances just for the achievements, and I must say that I blogged about this on my site, but I think that's definitely what Blizzard has succeeded in doing with the achievement system, is they're forcing people who are achievement horrors to try and go and complete all of those achievements. And it's forcing them back to that old world content. Maybe they're only running Wailing Cavern once, but they're running Wailing Caverns. Maybe they're only doing stockades just, a 5-minute run, but they're doing stockades, And, okay, so I'm going to go do a run through stockades anyway, and there's three people in guild chat or in general chat who are offering 5 gold to go to get a run through stockades. Okay, so I just made 15 gold to earn an achievement I was going to earn anyway. It makes sense.
Well, and I also think from a developer's standpoint, at one point they spent a lot of time making these instances. I mean, I'm sure stocks and Wailing Caverns took a long time, but when you think of something on the scope of Molten Core or AQ or Naxx or any of the content that at one point was the end game of end game, I'm sure it's good for them to know that there are people that are seeing that content again and appreciating it, and who are also appreciating how far raiding design has come since the first 40-man raids were introduced, because they've definitely been able to improve the design of the instances and the raiding experience. I talked a little bit last episode about how Molten Core, for all its coolness, is kind of boring. It's a lot of the same thing. There are too many bosses. It's too long. It's too big. And at one point, it was too hard. So I think it's kind of cool to be able to go back and see that progression from Molten Core, Blackwing Lair, up through, Black Temple and Sunwell.
It's interesting to see the effect 3.02 has had on the game in... Honestly, such an unexpected way. I mean, I never would have predicted what we've seen happening in the last few days, last week or two, after 3.02 hit. I honestly thought people would virtually ignore achievements, but people have been doing it, and I'm proud. I'm happy to see. I'm happy to see people are making use of the time that we have productively.
Well, because it's something to do. And you get that endorphin rush from completing the task, even though there's no reward except for the prestige. It's an interesting thing. It's almost like Blizzard has put in more quests without the reward. So I have a feeling that once Lich King hits, the achievements are going to drop way off for a while, just because you don't make money when you get an achievement. Sometimes, I mean, I know sometimes you get a non-combat pet, sometimes you get a title, but there's no kind of tangible reward that you can exchange for goods, so.
Oh, yeah, I love Medros's little skunk. It looks cute. And it's a sign of, you know...
Now, how'd you get the skunk?
Having 50 non-combat pets.
I want to do that now. Oh. Do they have to be different, though, or can I buy 50 cheap ones?
I bought all of the cats, I bought all of the rabbits, I bought all of the owls, I bought all of the moths, I bought bought a bunch of dragon hawks. I got some of the frogs, I got the jubiling. I haven't gotten the ones from the Dark Moon Fair yet. But I did have those at one point. I got rid of them because they were cluttering up bag space. But yeah, I've got Arita and Amelind and Talon all have 30 plus. just some of the rare ones I haven't quite had a chance to get again so that I can send those around. Thankfully, the one that gives you the collector's edition pet from the first collector's edition gives you one of three pets, and the item is bind to account. So all I did, for some reason I had no characters that had the Zergling. So what I did was I rolled a new character, went and used the voucher to get a Zergling, and then I sent that off to my mule, and then circulated that around so all my characters could have one. So, and then I deleted the character because I didn't really need the extra character. And the items, you know, and right now the item...
I want the panda.
Pandas. Back at the first BlizzCon, there was a cute person in the costume contest that her costume was a panda, and she made a little stick that when twirled would do the little Z's going up like the panda pet has.
Aww.
And I thought, well, it didn't win because the succubus won that year. In a custom-made corset and... looking as much like a succubus as one can, it was a dead giveaway. I mean, there was 20 people in the costume contest. 12 of them were dressed as succubus. A succubus was going to win that year. I thought, personally, that the panda was cuter, but there are people who like succubus and like women dressed in lingerie, so I figured that was probably going to be the winner.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Not at all, no. But, yeah, that was a pretty cute contest the first year. We do have a main topic today that I wanted to get to at this point, even though we're an hour into the show, so this may be a little bit longer show than originally planned. Proudest milestones in World of Warcraft. I would say my proudest milestone was my recent marriage in-game, in-character. It's not easy to plan an event. It's not easy to roleplay a character to that extent. Takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy, but I think it was worth it. What is your proudest moment?
Well, I guess I have a couple. First, obviously, was dinging 60 on my first character before Burning Crusade because I was new to the whole MMO thing. I didn't really know very much. I took almost a year to do it, to level it up. And I was grinding in Silithus with someone that I just met, and I dinged 60 down in one of the bug hives. And she took a screenshot from me and emailed it to me, and she gave me open trade and gave me one of the festive dresses so I could run around Ironforge on my mount screaming, ding 60, ding 60. And then 4 or 5 days later, the freaking expansion hit and I was back to leveling again. So that was a little depressing, but that was definitely probably my proudest moment, my first 60. And then there, you know, of course, is my dinging 70 and dinging 70 on my second tune, the Warlock, who is now going to be my main. I think once I get Epic Flying, that'll be another one, just because I've never had to work so hard at anything in the game. I had close to 2,000 gold at one point, but I used it to finish leveling Tailoring on the Warlock and to make the Frozen Shadow Weave set when she dinged 70, so that's where 2,000 gold went. So I have a feeling that that'll be the other one. Beyond that, just some raiding accomplishments, getting Prince Malkazar down and Kara with most of the raid wipe, things like that.
Yeah, I would definitely say my first Medros has slain Prince Malkazar. That was definitely one of my proudest raiding moments, I would think.
He's hard.
He is, and being the one to get that last hit you know, that last, you know, I got you moment. That was pretty awesome. being melee on Malkazar is really, really hard because it's like you're in there for half the fight, it feels like. Because every you know, 20 seconds or 30 seconds, whatever it is, you've got to step out. And you got to run away. It's like...
You have that stupid enfeeble.
Yeah, it's really, really frustrating. Getting 470s, like getting Talon to 70 as my fourth 70, that was a pretty proud moment. Hitting 4 years playing World of Warcraft, that was awesome, I must say. If you had told me back in 2004 that the game that I was beta testing and trying out for the first time, if you had told me that in 4 years I would be where I am now, playing World of Warcraft so much, doing a podcast about World of Warcraft, I probably would have told you you're insane, honestly. I probably would have done that. I mean, I've been playing since September of 2004. Yeah, I mean, I began playing WoW in September 24th, 2004. That's a long time. And I've taken some breaks. I've taken a month or two here or there, but that's still a very, very long time.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I joined WoW just to play with my friends, and sometimes I do slash played on my tunes and I get depressed.
So I'm curious, what's your total slash play between all your characters?
Oh gosh, I don't have the game open right now.
Yes,
it's probably way too long. Yeah, jeez. Well, I know I started playing. I think I started playing about 4 months after the game hit stores, and I started my Alliance Rogue probably another 3 months after that. You know, I really don't know. I know this much. I know it's pathetic because I was not an efficient leveler at all for the Rogue. I mean, it took me a year to hit 60. It's... You know, I don't even know. I'm getting upset.
Just give it like 100 days, 200 days.
I'll let you know next time.
150 days, what?
Yeah, probably like 150 days, maybe. Because the thing is, I have a lot of alts. I have like 20 alts scattered across various servers. Most of them are not above level 10 or so. But, you know, that takes time too. But I have the 70 Rogue, I have the 70 Warlock, I have 52 Mage, is almost 53. And then on Thunderhorn, I also have a couple that are in their 20s. So, you know, that's not a negligible chunk of time leveling those alts.
So I'm going to ask, we've got Jen from Hyper Nonsense, and Lana, who's a member of the Shadow Walkers in our chat room here. Both of them know me pretty well. You've been, you know, Grace, you've been listening to the show for a very long time. So I will ask all of you to guess for me how many days of playtime you think I might have on all of my tunes. And I want to see if you guys can get anywhere close to what the number is.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Lana, Jen, either of you have any guesses on that number?
I'm going with 300.
just give a guess, Jen. It is a guess, and that's all I'm asking for you guys to do. And I'm loading up the game now just to...
It's like playing The Price is
oh,
Right.
No, it's not a matter of who gets closer. I just want to... Just want to see who's gonna be the best.
So someone can guess 301.
Okay, so Lana's guessing 376. And Jen, any guess? Come on.
All of our guesses are above 300. Out with it. Any number. Mash your face into the keypad. 643.
I just have to hop over to my first realm that I started. Okay. Because I originally played on a realm called Manoroth, because back when I was part of WoW Radio, the owner there advised that we play on a PvP realm, because that's how he played, and he felt everybody should play there, and that's where the fans were going, and all this other stuff. So, for the first, I would say, 6 to 9 months of the game, I was playing there. So I just got to, you know, I want to hit over there, And then I will give you the final number. I'm pretty sure I know the number. But last I checked, the number was 296. I haven't checked in a while. So it may be over 300 by now, but it's pretty close to 300. And I gotta say, looking at this tune right now, God, he looks so stupid. He's wearing just really crappy gear and, oh, horrible, horrible. Okay, so it's actually not as bad as I thought. It's only,
I'm scared.
Okay, there's gotta be a character missing here because it's only showing me right now 285.
Woo! I was pretty close!
And I'm pretty sure that I had more than that somewhere. But I don't know where.
Uh-oh.
That's for all of my tunes. Argent Dawn, Eldritch of Loss, Blackrock, Manoroth, and Thunderhorn.
Now, how are you checking all of that combined?
I have a mod called All Played.
Well played. Very nice. So you have to do mine individually.
And this guy's actually in Dunmurrow, which is safe. Wow, what a shock. But yes, this guy, this tune is just really, really pathetic. I'm pretty sure at level 46, he's probably still wearing some mail. Yeah, he's got a mail headpiece, plate shoulders, plate chest piece. But yeah, he's still wearing a fair bit of... And he's got leather bracers. He's got Murloc scale bracers on. He's a paladin. And he's got a leather belt. And mail pants. Yeah, he sucks.
Let's see. Okay, on my rogue, my total time played is 41 days. 15 days since dinging 70.
Okay.
So, I don't know. That's not too bad. I thought it was going to be worse, actually. So, I have to see about the warlock. The warlock will be less because I started her later. So.
Yeah, I would say my slash played is something I'm proud of. And yes, I know that sounds weird, but yes, I am very proud of the fact that I was able to, play this game, in such a dedicated fashion that I'm still playing such a long time after this launch. 4 years, 285, almost 300 days played. That's pretty damn good.
Absolutely. That's a long haul. That's longer than a lot of marriages.
I mean, I definitely know some marriages that don't last 4 years,
That's right.
But my marriage to WoW, it's going to last, I tell you. It's going to last for as long as I live, or as long as I keep the servers up.
That'll be depressing if they shut the servers down. Wouldn't that be horrible? I think sometimes about that. What I would do as my last moment in WoW when they shut the servers down, where I'd want to be, and then I get upset. So.
Me, I would make sure that when I logged off for the last time, it would be an Orgrimmar. On my human, I'd make sure it was an Orgrimmar. Just so that I could say, I finally explored Orgrimmar.
Oh, on your human! Nice. I didn't get that. I was like, wait, why Orgrimmar?
Yeah.
I'm a little slow.
But yeah, it's it's fine. But yeah, it's really... I look back. I did this show, just before Burning Crusade launched. I did a group podcast with a bunch of people from the Shadow Walkers back then. And I remember, I can't say if it was fondly or not, but I do remember very vividly looking back at what's changed in World of Warcraft from the day that it launched November 23rd, 2004 to now. And I must say, looking at what it was then and now, even more has changed, And honestly, you don't get 296 days slash played if you don't love a game.
That's right. And if you're not really good at finding ways to keep yourself entertained.
That's true. So before we go, I just wanted to bring up a subject that I found on WoW Insider earlier today. And I found this so funny that I just had to mention it. And that is that the CEO of LucasArts, not the CEO, but somebody from LucasArts, gave the statement that they believe that their next MMO, well, their first MMO for LucasArts, set in the same universe as the Knights of the Old Republic series of games that have been very popular, is going to beat WoW. Now, every MMO's got to say this. But they've done one Star Wars MMO and it failed miserably. And yes, it's Star Wars. Star Wars is popular, and WoW is... They're the big guy on the yard. Everybody's got to take him on. Everybody's got to take a chance. Well, even the CEO of Mythic, even the people who brought us Warhammer and Age of Conan, all of those companies, they all admitted that they don't expect that they can beat WoW. They just hope to take a piece of the pie. They know it. They know it'll take a lot. And Jen's right. Star Wars has lots of fans, but Star Wars Galaxies was released and was a flop. It's Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, basically in an MMO version. And hey, Knights of the Old Republic is an awesome game. I loved it. But Star Wars Galaxies came and went. It failed miserably. They made mistakes from beta level, and that killed the game.
Huh.
And even Star Wars Galaxies could not break the record that WoW broke in its first month. My question is to everybody out there, and I'd love to hear emails. We'll read them on the next show. What chances does a Star Wars MMO have to beat WoW? What do you think?
Well, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, I'm not going to lie. I have nothing against it. It's just not my thing. So from my perspective, it's not going to do much at all. I mean, I'm sure it'll have some players, but I definitely don't think that it's got the same draw as WoW does. But I suppose it's also kind of uncharted territory. So I suppose we'll have to wait and see, because to the best of my knowledge, at least, there hasn't been a space adventure kind of MMO per se. So I don't know. I'm not going to play it, though. I can tell you that.
There was Star Wars Galaxies, and there's Stargate Worlds that's entering beta phase right away. And Lana points out that Sony screwed it up in the middle, not the beginning, and I disagree. I think they screwed it up from beta when they began charging for the beta. They charged players to test their game, and I'm sorry, but that is not...
That's stupid.
That's not what you do. You don't charge people to test for you. That's just not how you run a game.
Was Star Wars Galaxies an MMO?
Yes.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
It was run by Sony. Yeah, it was run by Sony Online, and it had its fan base for a time, but from what I understand of how it went, and Lana can probably speak better because she played it, I felt they screwed up from beta. Those who played it enjoyed it until such time as they really, really screwed up, and that killed off their audience, and I don't even know if their servers are up anymore. Well, I guess Lana says she actually still plays it, so I guess the servers are still up, but I don't know what kind of audience it has. It never bested the record set by EverQuest, and it certainly has no hope at this point of at all being a challenge for WoW. Not unless they give it and a year's worth of playtime away. That's the only way they could ever possibly hope to get enough players to beat WoW. And I just don't know if LucasArts can do what they have to make an MMO. And I think since this is their first MMO, I think they are severely overestimating what they can do in audience base and how much effort and resources it's going to take for them to release a massively multiplayer online role-playing game that has any hope of playing or beating World of Warcraft. But again, that's probably just my opinion as admittedly somebody who's a big fan of World of Warcraft. Yeah, Jen actually makes a good point in chat. The last Star Wars MMO really, really disappointed a lot of people, and that's going to work against LucasArts, because LucasArts did license and continue to license the Star Wars MMO, you know, rights to Sony for a long time after they screwed up the game. I think that's about it for this episode. Again, starting November 1st, we'll be having the first episode of the National Podcast Post-Month effort here on All Things Azeroth. And after that, once a week, we'll be doing our shows together. And then we'll be switching off and on, on and off for the rest of the episodes. Every week will be, you know, 1 week I'll do four, you'll do three kind of thing, until we're done. And Jen is actually participating as well. She'll be joining us in the National Podcast Post-Month with her own podcast, I believe, Hyper Nonsense and Inside My Head. Right, Jen? Okay, so yeah, check out Jen's podcast, Inside My Head, at jen.phantompower.org, I believe, and hypernonsense.com, and we'll definitely put those links in the show notes. And again, it's NAPODMO, or NAPODP, pomo.ning.com if you want to check out the National Podcast Post Month. That link will, of course, be in the show notes for this episode of All Things Azeroth. And yeah, if you have a podcast, if you want to launch a podcast, as long as it's not about World of Warcraft to compete with us, feel free to just toss me a link, toss me a promo, and we'll be happy to play it on one of our many episodes in the month of November, 30 of them or more. Thanks again for tuning in. Any final words, Grace?
The email address to toss us a promo or to toss us your thoughts is show@allthingsazeroth.com.
Very good point. Thank you for reminding me about that. Clearly not all there today. show@allthingsazeroth.com to send us an email. Go to allthingsazeroth.com for show notes, links, anything you want. My blog is at allthingsazeroth.com/Medros. Hers is allthingsazeroth.com/grace, now with a capital G or a lowercase g. It doesn't matter. It'll get you where you need to be. And that is going to be about it for today. So again, stay tuned for the National Podcast Post Month, and stay tuned for your regular episodes of All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. Take care, happy hunting, and see you in Outlands. And of course, Northwind.
Goodbye!
I keep a close watch on this thread of mine. I keep my taunts on cooldown all the time. I sunder armor, mangle, judge their crime. Aggro is mine, I hold the line. Hello ladies, who wants to dance? Who wants to die? I find it very, very easy to get hit. I get the mob's attention every bit. I charge into that deep, dark, scary pit. Aggro is mine, I hold the line. Hey you, beating on a healer. Your mama is so ugly that Moro still won't return her calls. I am a tank that serves to protect you. I keep you all from being squishy goo. And you will find that when our time is through, aggro is mine, I hold the line.
I'm sorry, is that you that was hitting me? Is that all you got? I met Girl Scouts that hit harder than that. My little sister hits harder than that. She's 3.
I have a high repair bill all the time. I find my armor never keeps a shine. But you will never hear me cry or whine. Aggro is mine, I hold the line.
Your mother is a Murloc, and your father is Hogger's third cousin, twice removed.
I keep a close watch on this thread of mine. I keep my taunts on cooldown all the time. I sunder armor, mangle, judge their crime. Aggro is mine, I hold the line. Aggro is mine, I hold the line.
Oh, you're gonna run away? Oh, I'm so scared. Oh, should I go get you some diapers for your little diaper baby? Oh, yeah, poor little mom is dead.
Yeah, who's next?